18, and it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Father, bless the preaching of your word today. Open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears to thy word, that we may receive it and it may change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Court is now in session. After Paul's introduction in verses 1 to 15, he then tells us the reason for his writing the epistle to the Romans, and that was verses 16 and 17. And talking about how the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. We talked about he talked about the power that is resident in the gospel. And then he talked about how within that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. His opening statement is concluded, and the scene now shifts, and the prosecution will seek to prove the defendant's guilt. And who is the defendant? Mankind. And from chapter 1, verse 18, all the way through chapter 3, verse 20, it is the prosecution seeking to prove the defendant's guilt. These are some of the most important passages we need to know in our evangelism and apologetics. Apologetics is our defense of the truth. These passages, especially chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. Friends, chapter 1, verse 18 to 32 is being lived out before our eyes every single day. Friends, we need to know the times in which we live. We can't bury our heads in the sand and think it will all go away. It's not going away. It's going to get worse. And we need to wake up and pay attention. We sit in our pews. Sometimes we sit there unmoved, unaffected. And friends, all the world around us is guilty. All the world around us, the people who don't know Christ as Savior, stand before God under His wrath and deserve it. And we sit unmoved. What we see today going on around us is a clash of worldviews between the true Christian and everybody else. Turn with to the Gospel of John, please. Introduction. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus here in a discussion with the Pharisees, how they were saying that God was their father and they weren't born of fornication like you were, a mockery to Jesus' birth, knowing that Joseph was not his father, of course not believing in the virgin birth, but mocking him. You know, you were born before your mother and father were married, and you were born, and you might not even be Joseph's son, which is true, but they meant it in a mocking way. And he says in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. There is a clash of worldviews today between the true Christian and everybody else. Friends, we need to know this. If we are to live as effective children of God in this world, if we are going to be effective slaves to our master, we need to know this. The battle, my friends, today is for truth. The battle is not between the Democrat and the Republican. The battle is for truth. And the Lord Jesus and his word is truth. And the sons of the devil believe the lie. That's the root of the problem. And in this postmodern world, people believe that truth is subjective, which means it's based on my feelings. I'm not really a man. I'm a woman. That is the fruit of believing the lie. Truth is subjective. Truth changes. Truth is based on what I feel. But truth is objective. Truth is based on facts. No, you're a man. You have one X and one Y chromosome and not two X chromosomes. You can dress up all you want. But the truth is, you're a man. Now, this is only fruits of the byproduct of listening to the lie. And we get sometimes focused on those things when the battle is for truth. These passages, friends, from chapter 118 through 320, these passages prove all our guilt. Everyone stands before God guilty of sin. As we've already seen in verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. This is God's remedy for our sin problem. But we are also told in verse 18 that God has revealed his wrath. This is God's penalty for our sin problem. When we share the gospel with people, we need them to understand before anything else that they stand guilty before Almighty God. They need to understand their sin must be and will be punished by a holy and righteous God. And today's text begins to prove that guilt. Point number one, God's wrath is revealed. For the wrath of God. And this word wrath in the Greek has the idea of to swell. And to continue to swell. And one day will burst. From the first sin till now, God's wrath continues to swell, and one day will burst like a dam that can no longer hold back the water. This wrath is not sudden, uncontrolled outbursts, which we experience sometimes. Sometimes someone says something to us and right away we shoot back at them. That's not the wrath of God. God does not make outbursts like that, but God's wrath continues to swell. In his commentary on this passage, John MacArthur describes the wrath of God as the settled, determined response of a righteous God against sin. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36, the last verse of chapter 3. The verse that Jonathan Edwards preached that brought about the Great Awakening and a great revival in New England many, many years ago. Notice what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. Praise God. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. And to that we say, Amen. Praise God. Because God is a righteous God. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Right now, if you are an unbeliever, this word abideth in the Greek is in the present tense. So it's a continual abiding. Right now, if you are here and you are an unbeliever, the wrath of God continually abides on you. Right now. And we go about like nothing's wrong. Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Revealed means to take the cover off, to make known, to make visible. And it's present tense also. So God is continually revealing his wrath. I have an illustration. I have a pot. And this word, revealed, literally means to take the cover off so that you could see what's inside. Now, there's nothing inside here, but for the point of our illustration, what is revealed? God's wrath. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Hold that thought because we're coming back to that thought later. God reveals his wrath two ways. Indirectly or through the natural consequences of violating his natural moral law. What does it say in Galatians 6? We should all be familiar with this passage of Scripture. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now this verse states things in the positive and the negative. But because we're dealing with a verse that deals with the negative, God's wrath is revealed. One way that it is revealed is indirectly or through the natural consequences of violating his natural moral law. If you do something against God's law, you will suffer the consequences for that. If you are sexually promiscuous and you get a disease or an unwanted pregnancy, that is God's wrath being revealed. If you abuse your body and something you purposely put into your body causes you to have cancer, causes you to die, that is a consequence of your sin. God's wrath is being revealed indirectly. But God also reveals his wrath directly. Or this is through personal intervention. And there have been times throughout history, and it's recorded for us in his word, that God has directly been involved and intervened in mankind. And the first time was Adam and Eve's sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came and called them to task. Adam, where are you? He didn't lose Adam. But Adam, what have you done? He knew what he did. And God, because he's a gracious God, provided them with salvation. But God, because he is a righteous God, punished them. And now they knew death. And now they had to be expelled from the Garden of Eden. And now they knew toil and pain. God directly intervened in a worldwide flood where only Noah and his family were saved. God directly intervened in Sodom and Gomorrah when he sent his angels. And when just Lot, not meaning only Lot, but when righteous Lot was delivered, the city was destroyed. God personally intervened with the plagues upon Egypt. And God personally intervened and poured out his wrath in the crucifixion of his son, the Lord Jesus, upon Calvary's cross. The cross, friends, is the revelation of the fact that God really means business with this question of sin. And woe to the one who thinks otherwise. God made his son sin for us who knew no sin. That's how serious God takes sin. And will God one day say to some people, I put my only begotten son to death for your sin? Don't tell me you have no sin. Don't tell me how good you are. What an affront to a holy and righteous God. His wrath is revealed from heaven. And the Bible tells us that darkness covered the earth when Christ cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Ungodliness, acts against God. This means a lack of reverence, a lack of devotion, a lack of worship of the true God. Jude chapter 14, chapter 1, verse 14. If your Bible has Jude chapter 14, we have to talk. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are what? Ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Ungodliness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness or lack of reverence, devotion, or worship of the true God. And may I say also, we need to worship him his way. How many times do we hear people say, oh, I worship God my own way? Cain tried that. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So if ungodliness are acts against God, unrighteousness are acts against man, and all sin is against God, but unrighteousness here, a lack of being right or just, not conforming to God's perfect law and holy character. Now we saw already, we saw how God demands righteousness. And the righteousness he demands, he provides. But man stands before God guilty of being ungodly and unrighteous. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. All people. All are guilty. You know, we live in a day filled with false prophets that will appear on some type of a screen, whether it's a television or a computer or a phone, who will smile and tell us everything's okay. God wants only his best for you. That's true if you're his child. But if you are ungodly and unrighteous, his wrath abides over you. And because he is a gracious God, right this moment, he's not pouring out his wrath upon you. But if you don't accept his righteousness, you will feel his wrath. Man's suppression of the truth, the second point. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Who hold the truth. That word means to suppress, to hold down. What are they holding down? The truth. What does Jesus say of himself in John chapter 14, verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth. What does Jesus say in his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 17? Thy word is truth. So, as God has revealed his wrath, he's revealed it. He wants us to see his wrath so that we respond to his love and we respond to his grace and we respond to his mercy and we accept the righteousness that he provides for us. But the Bible says, who hold the truth, that word means to suppress, to hold down. So unrighteous and ungodly man is putting the lid back on God's revelation. We don't want your wrath. We don't want to see your wrath. Imagine God taking the lid off so that he can be revealed. But man is doing everything it can to hold this lid down so truth cannot be seen. Man continues to pile things upon God's truth so it cannot be revealed. The battle is for truth. All this other stuff is fruits of that battle. And we get sidetracked with the symptoms rather than the root of the problem. Truth. They suppress who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, unrighteousness, we've already learned about what righteousness is. Righteousness is what God requires. Righteous is who God is. And what God demands, He supplies. We already dealt with that. But they're holding down the truth in unrighteousness. This is the lack of being right or just, not conforming to God's perfect law and holy character. Friends, we see and we will see through the remainder of this chapter the fruits of unrighteous man. How is this done? How is this suppression of truth done? It's done through unrighteousness. And the roots of this, where did all this begin? Man has always been trying to suppress God's truth. Cain tried to suppress it. And you know, man has always been trying to suppress it. But in our day, where we are today, how did we get here? In the 1800s, friends, things began to radically change. Now, that's a long time ago. But I believe there are three roots to the problem we face today. And to see Romans 1 being lived out in front of us. And we all know the battle that's going on in our country. And we know the battle that's raging in California over churches meeting. And recently, just this past Sunday, a pastor in Alberta, Canada, who is a graduate of the Master Seminary there, he was taken off in handcuffs and arrested for holding a meeting. How did we get here? First off, theological liberalism. And you could say, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Back in the 1800s, theologians began to question the truth of the Bible. They questioned it. And then after they questioned it, they denied it. And a man by the name of Friedrich Schleiermacher, interesting name, is the father of modern-day liberalism, to where he believed the lie of the devil, yea, hath God said. So now doubt is being cast upon God's word. Root number one. Root number two, evolution. Charles Darwin, questioning and denying God as creator. Therefore, if God's not our creator, we're not accountable to him. We're just a product of chance. We came from the slime, we'll just return to it. And the third is humanism. And humanism deifies man. Francesco Petrarca is the father of humanism. And his influence in Italy brought about the French Revolution in the 1800s. And then Napoleon going and conquering, trying to conquer the world. This is all a form of humanism. And believe it or not, friends, study your history. The guillotine is a result of humanism. And if you disagree with us, off with your head. That's who was being beheaded, the Christians. And people who didn't believe that. So we have theological liberalism, which denied the Word of God and eventually did not believe the Word of God. And evolution came out from that. And we're no longer God's creation. We're not accountable to Him. Therefore, there is no God. We are God. And that's where we are today. If you have not ever watched it, you need to watch it. How Shall We Then Live? A 10-video series by Francis Schaeffer. In the first 8 videos, he lays out the historic case of man, video 9 and 10. Now, this was made in the 70s, and how prophetic it is to where we are today. So the roots, theological liberalism, evolution, and humanism. The fruits. What has been the result of denying God and His Word? Atheism. There is no God. So let's take Him out of every public square. Public education. We will teach you what the truth is. We will rewrite history. Government. And any kind of government you could list, whether it's socialism, communism, Marxism, whether it's an oligarchical, any type, democratic. We will take care of your needs. We are sovereign. We know what you need. And the government's response to COVID proves that. Media and journalism will tell you what you need to know. And we'll control the narrative. Entertainment will numb your mind to reality. Just watch a chick flick and everything will be okay. Feminism. God's order is wrong, according to feminism, which led to abortion, which today, the slaughter and murder of innocent children is called women's health care. LGBTQ+. I can be whatever I want to be. Do you realize that the New York City Commission of Human Rights lists 31 genders on any New York City job application? Science. Follow the science. Nature. Global warming. Green New Deals. Save the planet. Earth Day. These are all the fruits, friends. They're all the fruits. Oh, they're problems, but they're the fruits of the root of the problem. It's interesting that John Kerry just said the other day, we have 9 years left to stop the irreversible damage to the earth. And that's interesting. He says that at the beginning of a Democratic presidency. 4 years plus 4 years is 8 years, so you better let us stay in so we can save the planet and all have something to live with. Now, all this stuff seems crazy and out, you know, of some of our minds, because, friends, we have a biblical worldview. We believe the truth. We are to be good stewards of the planet, but the planet is not going to end because it gets too hot. Well, but God's going to do that. Remember, God's standard is righteousness. We have no righteousness. Anything that suppresses God's truth is unrighteousness. And it's as old as the devil himself saying in Genesis 3:1, yea, hath God said. My Christian friends, you need to know this. Wake up. Get with God's program. Don't fall for the humanistic lie. God's word is what we need. God's word is what the world needs. We must be able to prove the guilt of the sinner in our evangelism. In our apologetics or in our defense of the truth, we must be able to know why being a homosexual or a lesbian is against God's holy law. And we need to be able to get through the discussions of, I feel like this. It's not easy, but we need to get there. We must be able to defend that a marriage is between one man and one woman. We must be able to speak against the confusion of gender dysphoria. We must be able to defend our biblical worldview against the modern humanistic worldview, which is anti-truth. It's ungodly, it's unrighteous, and God requires righteousness. And let me say this, friends. Don't be surprised when you send your children out that door to be educated by Caesar that they come home Romans. Don't be surprised. The battle is for truth. The battle is not only in these walls. The battle is in your home's wall. If you're here today without Christ, you are a guilty, hell-bound sinner who right now is abiding under the wrath of God. Come out from under that wrath. Accept His righteousness. Accept the gospel. Believe Him. Don't believe the lie you've been hearing. I'm okay, you're okay. Christian, get on the ball. Wake up. Shake off your slumber. It's serious. The Lord's coming soon. And for us, that is our blessed hope. But God will pour out His wrath upon the world. And they deserve it. I deserve it. But God is gracious. Accept His righteousness.